I don't think Brother Smith has any comprehension how much I appreciate his singing. It puts us in mind to think about spiritual things. And I'm glad that you're here. And I hope that you'll open your Bibles and your minds as we study some things together that I believe are important for our relationship with God and for our relationship with one another. As I begin this morning's lesson, I had two purposes in the lesson that I'm going to present this morning. First of all, is for our graduates. I want to congratulate Vanessa, Ashley and Andrea, David and Jason, who graduated from high school this month. We're thankful for their efforts, and I'm thankful that they're all children of God. They have passed one stage of their life, and they're about to enter into a world that will not be as kind as the things and the surrounding things that they've had to deal with up until this time. There is an important decision that lies ahead of you, and that is someone that you will choose to be a partner throughout the rest of your life. Someday, Lord willing, you're going to choose a husband or a wife, and that's an important decision. The only one that is of greater importance than that is the one of becoming a child of God. You have made that decision. You are to be commended for that. But the second decision that you will make has lifetime commitments and lifetime responsibilities, and could be a life of joy or a life of misery. A lot of it will depend on who you choose. Many of us on this day are married. We have relationships with our husbands and wives. And as I present this lesson this morning, I understand that marriage is an emotional fusion, blending two different personalities into one functional operation. At the same time, both people, the husband and wife, keeping their separate identities. One flesh relationship, the closest relationship that you will have physically while you live upon this earth. Now add God into this institution, and it gives you guidance, it gives you endurance, and it gives you a foundation on which to build a happy and successful marriage. We are told today by statistics that one out of two marriages will end in divorce. In Las Vegas, where I used to live and preach, with all our wedding chapels in the city that we lived in, the divorces outnumbered the weddings, if you can believe that. In Las Vegas, you can get divorced for $125. And you can drive by and do it at a window. And you can be divorced in one day, and you can be married in the same day by the end of the day. I have seen and had that witness myself while I lived there with a couple who was a member of the Lord's Church, who were divorced one day, and both were remarried in less than a 24-hour period. I also understand that our convenient society has made the marriage and divorces are a simple, no-pain process. No greater lie has ever been told. There is a lot of pain in a divorce. It's not the way God intended it. God hates divorce, Malachi chapter 2. But I'm not going to talk about that this morning because that's not my purpose. There are many people who are married. They're not divorced. But they are very unhappy. And they are very unhappy in their relationship. And I wanted to tell you from the beginning that that's not what God designed. That is not what God intended. And if you are unhappy in your marriage, then the problem is not with God's design. The problem is with the two people that are in that relationship. We need to understand that we are to be God's exhibit to the world of what marriage is all about. We tell our children, we teach our children about what is good and honorable and what is correct in marriage. And if we have an unhappy marriage, it may have lifetime consequences in the lives of our children because they won't learn any better. Because I'm going to tell you where your children are going to learn the most about marriage is from mom and dad. They're going to look at mom and dad and they're going to learn about marriage and what that entails. What are we teaching our children? And are we happy in our relationships? This relationship was instituted by the God of heaven. It was instituted for the happiness of both men and women. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible tells us that when God looked at man, did not have a mate, did not have one that was comparable to him, he made the statement in verse 18 that it was not good for man to be alone, that he was going to make him a helpmeet, one is suitable. Why is that not so today? Why is it so that so many marriages are unhappy? So many marriages end in divorce. In a recent study regarding the drug abuse, crime, and homelessness and poverty, it suggests that all have a common factor leading to them all. And the common factor is the broken home. In the majority of failed marriages, marital infidelity and adultery are the leading cause. They are not the only cause, but they are the leading cause. How do we stop this terrible trend from repeating itself? And how do we keep it from getting any worse? There's only one answer I know of, and that is go back to the Bible. Go back to the design. Go back to the creator of the institution. I believe getting back to the principles governing those who are in these relationships or about to enter them, given by God, the designer of all good things, will go a long way in turning these terrible facts around. The breakdown of the home is the leading reason why the morality of this nation is at an all-time low. Does this have no effect upon the church? You are dreaming if you think it does not. This does have an effect upon the church. Sadly, it does in our day and in our generation. We know the answer. Let us go back to the Bible. How can I understand what God expects out of the marriage relationship? We're going to study a text today. Please take your Bibles. I want you to open them. We're going to read this text together, and then we're going to talk about what this text teaches. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the perfect match. We're going to talk about the perfect match that God gave as Exhibit A to what marriage is to be between husband and wife. And that perfect match is the bride of Christ and Christ himself, the church. The church and Christ are used as Exhibit A in what God intended the husband and wife relationship to be. We'll begin reading in verse number 22, and we'll read down through verse number 33. Here's what the text says. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hateth his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his church. For we are all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular to love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, that's the text. Now let us define what the text means. Beginning in verse number 22, this is a passage that all husbands, they got it quoted. They know exactly what it says, and they believe they know exactly what it means. But what does it mean when it says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord? Submission means to yield to oneself to the authority of another. That's what the word itself means, to submit. The key to understanding what submission entails is the phrase, as unto the Lord. All of us, men and women, we are first submitted ourselves to God. We read that in James chapter 4. Unless we submit to God, we cannot resist the devil. Man's submission to God is supreme. Whether you're a husband and wife, your first responsibility is to God. And God says that in his role and in his design, that it is right, it is proper, it is in the best interest of both parties that the wife submit to her husband. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 12, excuse me, verse number 3, this hierarchy of authority is given. It says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. We need to understand that God made this order of leadership. It did not originate with men. Some male chauvinists did not make this role for man to be the leader and to be the head of his home. That is something that God designed when he designed marriage. Well, what if your husband is unkind, he's harsh, he fails to appreciate his wife, or he uses poor judgment? Maybe she's discouraged and she's disheartened. Does she still have to submit? In a Bible class some years ago, I heard an elder in the Bible class make the argument that the wife did not have to submit to her husband if he used poor judgment. If that's true, I'm in trouble, because I have used poor judgment in my marriage. I have used poor judgment in how I've conducted my life at times. I've used poor judgment. Is that an out? If it is, the Bible does not give it. Now, it's true that there has to be changes made, but there is never a scenario that you can paint that you can come out of your role that God has given you as being under submission to your husband. Now, there's a lot of generalities that men want to offer. There's a lot of things that may happen. One of the things that will make this difficult is if you choose someone that's not a member of the Lord's church. And then what's going to happen to the spiritual leadership that belongs to the man is going to fall upon you, but that's not the way that God intended it. And that's one of the dangers of choosing a mate outside the Lord's church, because then it's going to cause the responsibility in the spiritual area upon you as a Christian, and then that's going to get things out of sync. So that's something you need to consider. We need to also understand, if not, it produced a passage that gives her the out. I don't know what that would be. Can you see the church rebelling against Christ? Now remember, this is an illustration that Christ loves the church. The bride is the church and the Lord. That relationship. Can you ever see rebellion between the church and Christ? You can't even imagine that. If you can't imagine it, then you can't imagine it in the marriage relationship. Comfort and strength and solace is knowing that you're obeying God. Now we're going to talk about husbands in a minute. Don't think the husbands are getting off, because they're not going to. They have a responsibility too. And if they don't carry their role the way that God gave it, they're going to make it difficult for wives to follow through with their role. But that still means that they must be faithful to God. They must remember their position, and they must submit to their husband. Submission does not mean that you sell out. The Bible doesn't teach that, and any man that thinks that needs to go back and read the Bible. A person that's a wife has not become a second-class citizen. She has not begun to not be able to think for herself. She has not lost her identity. She is still a person. She has feelings. She has emotions. And she has worth. And she has not lost that because she is under submission to a man. And anybody that believes that does not understand God's design. She is a distinct personality. She has distinct needs. You submit not because your husband demands it. You submit because God requires it. And if you know, God would never tell you to do anything that would not be in your own best interest to do, would he? Would he ever tell you something that was not in your own best interest to do? I believe you know that he would not. Do not think in terms of inferior or superiority. That is not what marriage is about. It is about roles. It's about two different roles. It's not that one is more superior than the other. It is not one that's inferior to the other. They both work together for the good of each other. And when we forget that, our marriages become difficult. But what about verse number 23? It says, Christ is the head of the church as a husband is the head of the wife. The church is the bride of Christ. As a supporter, a guide, the head soul is the husband to the wife. We cannot have two heads in the family, no more than we can have two heads in the church. There's only one head to the church. Nobody misunderstands that. Ephesians chapter 1 says Christ is the head of all things. He's the Savior of the body. He's the head of the church. There is no power struggle. There is no question that Christ is the head of the church. There should be no question that the husband is the head of the home. That's the way God designed it. The husband is the preserver of the wife. Headship is not by force. Listen, husbands. Headship is not by force. It is by performance. What do I mean by that? It is by performance. The church is not submitted to Christ out of fear of chastening, but what he did and continues to do for it. It is easy for the church to submit to Christ because he demonstrates his love for her in everything that he does. It should so be with the husband and wife relationship. It should be that the wife feels her submission is not a terrible thing because her husband demonstrates the love and the care and the concern and the love that he has for his wife. It makes the mission an easy role. What he willingly took on when he married his wife is what he should continue to do. This is not a selfish headship, husbands. Did Christ ever ask the church to do anything that would not benefit her? If you know of something that the Lord required of his bride, the church, that was not a benefit to her, you tell me what that is. And if so, it should be in your marriage relationship. You should not ask anything of your wife that does not benefit the relationship. Does not benefit you only, but benefits the relationship. It must benefit the both of you. It cannot be a selfish headship. Is the husband to consider their wife? Did Christ consider the church? Let me read you a passage in 1 Peter 3, and let me read you a passage in verse 7. In verse 7, in 1 Peter 3, here's what the Apostle Peter wrote. Husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers might not be hindered. Notice, dwell with them according to knowledge or understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. According to knowledge. Men, we need to understand that our husbands are women. They do not think like us. They do not have emotions like us. They do not have feelings like us. And things affect them that does not affect us. My wife has tried to teach me about the tone of my voice. And you're thinking she hadn't done a very good job. But she's taught me to try to watch how I say things. And I need to watch how I say things. Because it tells something to a woman. A man, we may not understand all that is. But it's real. And we had better take note of it. Weaker vessel doesn't mean inferior. Weaker means that she is more emotional. She is more fragile. And I believe that's the attractive quality that God placed in her that makes her attractive to a man. Is that quality of feminist and of peace and that quality of feeling. And many husbands do not consider the feelings of their wife to their own detriment. We need to understand that, do we understand how God wants us to treat the church? We understand that, don't we? We understand how the Lord treats the church, don't we? We don't have any problem understanding that. What about in the marriage relationship? Do we understand how we ought to treat our wives, husbands? Yes, you're the head. But with that headship comes great responsibility. That responsibility that God placed in you is for a purpose. It is not used as a threat. It is not used to lord it over the wife. It is used to make the relationship better for her and for you. Well, let's look at verse 24 and 25. The church is under subjection to Christ. The wives are to their husbands in everything. Well, I've been asked many times, how far does this go? How far does her subjection go? Well, it goes as far as everything. What is everything? Everything is everything. He is head in everything. Husbands are to love their wives. How much? How much are you to love your wife? It says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. In Acts chapter 20, 28, the Bible says that the Lord shed his blood to purchase the church. That's how much he loved the church. Husbands, we are to love our wives even to the point of death. This means self-sacrificing. This means self-devoting. It means not being forgetful. It means to consider her. It means to put her first. That's what it means. It does not mean that she's behind your job. She's not behind your children. She's not. The only thing that's above the wife is God. Everything else, the wife is to be the cherished possession. Brethren, we need to understand that if we can understand how Christ loved the church, then we ought to have the same love for our wives. You know, the Bible said, I remember an illustration in a class that I was in once where the gospel preacher made the analogy. Let's say, brother, that your wife is out there in the street and she's walking across the street and doesn't hear a truck that's rapidly coming down the road. What are you going to do? He asked his husband in class. He said, what are you going to do? He said, well, that depends on how big the truck is. I bet his wife felt confident, didn't she? Husbands, you can tell your wife all day long that you love them. But if you don't have time for them, if you don't communicate with them, if you don't talk with them, if you don't interact with them, they're not buying it. You have got to spend time in a relationship in order to demonstrate love. Love is not something you say. Love is something that you show. And if you don't show your wife you love her, she doesn't believe it. We must demonstrate it daily. Husbands, don't save the flowers for a funeral. You won't be able to smell them or appreciate them. Don't say the kind words to be said while you stand over a grave. She won't be able to hear it and she won't be able to appreciate it. Say it while she's here. Say it while she's able to express it and to be able to enjoy it. Love her now, not then. Can one do this with the church? Can I wait till no longer to help the church when I'm not in a position to help her? Neither should we take for granted. Brethren, let me tell you something, husbands. How easy does your wife make your life? You better think about that. How quickly can it be taken away from you? Your wife can lose her life and you'll be alone. How would you like to be alone? Who would take care of all the things that she takes care of for you? If you have children, now it's going to fall upon you. Now the work of working for a living and taking care of the children, now it's going to fall upon you. What about the companionship? You know, I know many husbands that never had time to talk with their wives, never had time to communicate with their wives, and then something terrible happened and they took away. But you know what they wanted more than anything else? You know what they would give anything for? Just one more minute. To be able to say what they never took the time to say while she was alive. Don't learn this lesson the hard way. If you love your wife, show her. If she means everything to you, demonstrate it. And if she means everything to you, then you won't make time for her. Isn't she worth that? Surely, husbands, she's worth that. Christ and the church are set apart, according to chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Christ died to sanctify the church and to perfect it by the washing of the water, by the forgiveness of sins. And we can read this in a numerous number of passages, beginning in Ephesians 1 and 7, and 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. By the word, she's justified to present it a glorious body, not with spot, not without blemish, glory in her purity, separate from the world. She's a beautiful bride. How important is fidelity in a marriage? It's absolutely of grave importance. The purity in that relationship is the responsibility of both husband and wife. It is a trust. It is a sacred trust. And if you break that trust, you have damaged your relationship. It can't be repaired. And I admire and I have a lot of faith and I have a lot of respect for people who repair that difficulty. But I also need to understand that it is a danger. When you are married, you are not single. You can't look. It is not all right to look. You are off the market. You know, it's sad that I've got to make statements like that, but I'm telling you, some of you need to listen to it. You are not married. You are not single. You are married. And when you're married, your focus is upon one person. Your husband or your wife. No one else. If you spend more time as a husband with someone else of the opposite sex, you have got a problem. And you are asking for trouble. Think about what I'm saying. Adultery doesn't just happen, folks. There's steps in the process. You're spending more time with someone of the opposite sex than you are your mate, you had better change your priorities. Love the wife as your own body, according to verse 28 and 29. Christ loved the church more than his own body, allowing it to go through the shame and the pain of the cross. By taking a wife, we take care of ourselves. A wife is a reflection of a husband. How much you love your wife is reflected how you treat her. Nobody hates himself, do they? I'm not going to do anything to hurt me. But do we think about what we're doing when we hurt our wives or our husbands? Kindness repaid by happiness she imparts. To promote our happiness, we seek the love of one another. Does not Christ do this with the church? Does he not demonstrate his love for the good of himself and also for the good of the church? Isn't that what it, way it's supposed to be in a marriage relationship? What does the word nourish mean? It means to promote the growth, to sustain. What about that word cherish? Husbands, I want you to listen to what this word means. It means to hold dear, to show deep care and affection. Do you treat your wife? Do you cherish your wife? Do you hold her with deep care and affection? If you yell at her, you don't. If you don't talk to her, you don't. And if you don't care what she thinks, you don't. I know some of you out there have got to be thinking, you know, this all seems to be slanted towards the husbands. You're getting it. That's right. Because it's usually where the greatest problem is at. We think being a man somehow excludes us from understanding about feelings. It excludes us from happy to be able to say I'm wrong and I'm sorry. But those are words that you better learn to say because you've been wrong. And you need to be sorry and you need to be able to express it. We need to understand that the husband should seek the wife's needs first, not his own. Will the Lord ever do anything to hurt the church? I don't believe so. Would he ever show disrespect to her? I don't believe so. Would he ever dishonor her? I don't believe so. But husbands, if you consider what you need above what your wife needs, and your needs are always taken care of first and hers are second, you're going to have a hard sell believing, telling her that you cherish her and you love her, when what you want is more important than what maybe she wants or what the family wants. Husband and wife, you yell at each other? Well, yeah, everybody does that. Does that make it right? Because everybody does it. Well, everybody gets angry. I understand that. But you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Yeah, we get angry and we yell and we say things we ought not. What do you do afterwards? Well, I wait until she apologizes. No. Can you say you're wrong? Can you say I'm sorry and mean it? Can you say that I'm sorry and I'll try to do better and really try to do better? Or are you sorry just so you can patch it up and get on with your life? Let me tell you something, husbands and wives. The other one knows what you mean. Because over a period of time, you demonstrate what you mean. If you're just saying you're sorry to get on with it, the other one knows. And what you're doing, you are eroding the relationship. What you're doing is that you are causing their respect for you and their love for you to diminish. And over a period of time, brethren, that will take a toll. That will take a toll. Yes, we are to love our wives as we do our own body. You know, verse 30 says, she's flesh of my bone. Remember how she was created? God caused Adam to go into a deep sleep and took the rib from his body, and he created woman with that rib. And now she's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. You know, members of the body, partakers of the body, understand that this is a close union. Purpose and thought and work are in agreement. Husbands, would you ever do anything to hurt your own body? I don't believe that you would. Would Christ ever do anything to hurt the bride? I don't believe that he ever would. But you know, I think it's important of where God took the part that he made woman from the rib of man. What's close to man's rib is heart. He did not take her from the head so he could lord it over. He didn't take her from the feet so he could trample on her. He took her from close to his heart so he could protect her, so he could nourish her, so he could cherish her, so he could learn to live with her and respect her according to knowledge. God gave you an important role, husbands. You ought to be the protector for your wife. She is supposed to have security in you. She is supposed to feel safe when she is with you. She is supposed to feel that she has someone that cares for her when she is with you. If your wife does not feel that, then your marriage is in trouble. Listen, husbands, you may never get divorced, but you may never have all the happiness in marriage that God intended for you to have. Yes, I'm aware that a lot of Christians, they know what their responsibility is to God. They know the Bible says they can't get divorced except in the case of infidelity. You may stay together, but if you're unhappy, you're going to be unhappy. That's going to show itself in many ways. And not only that, what example are you setting for your children? You're teaching them, you know, I know of a family that the young man told me, came to me, he was having some problems in school. And I really didn't know his parents very well. And we were talking about school. He was dating someone, and they didn't like who he was dating. And by the way, she was a Christian. And they didn't like her. But he tells me, he said, well, you don't ever have to worry about me. They don't ever have to worry about me getting married. I said, well, what are you talking about? He says, man, I don't want to get married. I see what that's done for my mom and dad. I don't want any part of that. Brethren, there's nothing funny about that. This was a young man in a home of two Christian people. That's sad commentary, isn't it? We need, what about our words? How do we talk to one another? Do we constantly criticize? And not only women nag, men can do that too. It's just as wrong for them as it is for women. How do you talk to your mate? Do you talk at all? Do you communicate at all? Do you talk about your problems? And you will have problems. In a marriage, you'll have problems. What do you do when you have problems? Do you just ignore them until they stop, until they go away? No problem ever went away by itself. Oh, it might get dismissed for a while. It might get swept under the rug, but it's going to pop its ugly head again. You've got to communicate. You've got to talk. And if you don't talk and you don't communicate, then you've got a problem. Now, I know what I've had a lot of people come and say, I just don't have the time. You had better make the time. If you don't have the time, then you're too busy. You need to change your schedule. If you don't have time for God, then that's a problem of priorities. If you don't have time for your husband and wife, that is a problem of priorities. And you must get your priorities straight. What about the mystery between Christ and the church? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, this is an intimate relationship. Husband and wife, they're part of the most sacred tie that belongs between husband and wife. Could you allow someone to destroy the bride of Christ? You never would do that. Christ would never do that. We should never do that. Husbands or wives would ever destroy this union. Just as the union of Christ and the church is very special, likewise the husband and wife. Adam gave part of himself to his wife. Christ gave part of himself to the church. If you're going to have a fulfilling relationship, you're going to have to give part of one another to each other. And you know what, brethren? That's scary, isn't it? Because that means if you give it, you can get hurt. But that's exactly what God intended for us to do, husbands and wives. He intended our lives to be fused together, that we both give each other part of our lives, and we trust, and we are committed to each other. That's what makes it work. That's what holds it together. That's why it's important. She needs to respect her husband. Love, esteem, and honors her husband. It produces a concern. Do we talk to each other? How do we talk towards our husband? Ladies, do you continually point out his faults? You continually tell him to... Now, I won't use that in illustration because I'll get in trouble for that. But do we continually just harp to be harping? You know, what am I talking about? Husbands and wives, how you treat each other is going to have a lot to do with what type of relationship that you have. What you do to one another is going to have to do with the love, the respect, and the desire that you have in this relationship. Nobody's going to have a desire for someone else who does not communicate with them, who does not talk with them, who does not consider them, who is disrespectful, who does not honor them. There is nothing more difficult for me to listen to than to see a husband and wife belittled in public. And I have seen it in the church in my time, where I've seen a husband or a wife dressed down by the other. Nobody's going to convince me that they love that person that would do such a thing. Can you ever see Christ doing that to the church? Can you even imagine that? Can you ever see Christ doing anything that would dishonor his bride? To show disrespect for? To show less than love and affection? Can you even imagine that in your mind? You can't even imagine that. Then why do we do it in our marriages? Why did God use the example of the church and the bride? Why did he use that example? Because he was trying to tell us how precious this relationship is. And he was also trying to teach us the love that had to exist in order to make the relationship work. You know, there's a lot of songs called Living on Love. It won't last. Love is something that's got to be nurtured. It's something that's got to be worked at. It's something that's got to be perfected over time. I can honestly make the statement, I love Rita more today than I did the day I married her. I can honestly say that. Can you say that? Can you say that about your husband or your wife, that you love them more than the day that you married them? If you can't, then you're not getting all out of the relationship that you ought to be getting out of. Must a wife obey her husband? Yes. But husbands, you must make it in the relationship where it's an easy thing to obey you. You make your wife's submission and obedience easy or difficult by the way that you treat her, by the way that you talk to her, by the time that you spend with her, you don't spend with her, and by the way that you deal with problems when they come up. What am I saying, brethren? What is God saying here? God is saying for this relationship to work in a nutshell, it must take time and effort. Love is something that is demonstrated. It is not something that you just say with your mouth. It is something that you demonstrate with your actions. And I want to add one more thing. This is why it's extremely important, young people, to make sure that you marry somebody that's a Christian. Because if you don't, they are on a different page than you are. And when you have problems, you're going to deal with it from two different perspectives. You're going to deal with it, if you're a Christian, from God's perspective. And the mate that's not a Christian is going to deal with it from a different perspective. And that's going to cause conflict, and it's going to cause turmoil. And if you don't believe that's true, ask somebody that's in that situation. I think they'll be very honest with you. It's not a sin to marry a non-Christian. That's not a sin. Is it poor judgment? Yes. Does it have problems? Yes. Can they be overcome? Yes. Can you still have a good marriage? Yes. But will it be difficult? Yes. Because you're dealing from two entirely different focal points. One other thing. How do you live with somebody for the rest of your life, knowing that you're headed one way in eternity and they are headed the other? When you love that person, that's a difficult burden to carry, to know that you're both headed in different directions eternally. Now, Christian, if you're married to each other, you have got a well of a good start. But that does not guarantee you success. You must work at it. You must consider one another. And you must, beyond everything else, remember that your duty to God requires you that the other person is the most important person in that relationship. Husbands, we need to consider the feelings of our wives. We need to understand that she's a weaker vessel. We need to understand that she's different than us. She's made up different. She thinks different. She feels different. She acts different. She reacts different. And husbands, we need to learn about that. We need to learn, and we need to get knowledgeable about that. And wives, you need to open your mouth, and you need to teach your husbands. They're not going to know. Believe me, we do not have telepathy. We don't know what you're thinking. You're going to have to tell us. And you know what? Sometimes you got to tell them, and you think, well, they're going to get mad. Well, they might get mad. But you got to ask yourself, what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to accomplish for them to hear you. And what you got to do is you got to plant seed. And if they care about you, they may get mad. I won't even I'll even say they will get mad. But if they love you, and they love you enough that they care about the relationship, they're going to listen. And they're going to think about it. And that will cause communication to take place. And you know, that's the biggest problem in our marriages, is that we talk to everybody but each other. And brethren, that's not a good thing. We must communicate if we want our marriages to be strong. My hope and my prayer for our graduates and for all young people is that they choose people that will give them a long-lasting, healthy marriage. But choosing a Christian does not guarantee success. Because there are many Christians I've seen end up in divorce. I've seen Christians who are married, but they're very unhappy. That does not guarantee success. The thing that guarantees success in marriage is by putting God's plan into work. That guarantees success. What about it today? Let me ask you something, husbands and wives. Are you happy in your marriage? And if you're not, what do you propose to do about it? Please take your song books out and turn to the song that has been selected. I am convinced from my study of God's Word that if husbands and wives have the relationship that the Lord has with His bride, that marriages would be not only last longer, divorces would be less, but there would also be more happiness in the relationship. I don't believe it's by accident that God chose the illustration of the relationship between Christ and the church as a parallel to the relationship between the husband and wife. And husbands and wives, you can forget everything I said as you walk out those doors today. You can go on thinking that you've got all the answers and you know better than I do, you know better than God. But if you do, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the designer. Because he said this is what will work. If you don't believe it will work, then your problem is with God. And I don't believe that's an argument that you can win. I believe God knows what he's talking about. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to give you an opportunity to become one. If you are here and you are a Christian, and you need to make some changes in your life, we want to give you the opportunity to do so as together we can.